Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Good morning, everyone. Starting our meeting this morning, if anybody has any cell phones or any other notable devices, if you put them on silent, that's not to disrupt this meeting. And then if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving along now to item number three. This is discussion, possible action, approval of the agenda for July the 5th, 2016. Is there any public comment regarding the approval of today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's agenda.
I'll second.
We moved and second to approve the agenda for this date. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
We move to second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six. This is discussion and possible action, the presentation and approval by the Nevada Department of Transportation of the 2016 Transportation Report for Story County. From Department of Transportation this morning, we have Bill Hoffman and former colleague, Douglas County Commissioner, Lee Bonner. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, staff. Again, I'm Bill Hoffman, Deputy Director for the Nevada Department of Transportation. Very happy to be here today. I feel we have a very strong working relationship with Story County, and I want to continue that. First, before I launch into the presentation, I've got a few introductions that I'd like to make. So, of course, with me is Lee Bonner. He's in our planning department. I have Mark Costa here. He is also in NDOT planning. And then I have Kathy Balkin, who is also planning. And they've really revamped this county commission tour that we call it at NDOT. They've done a tremendous job. There's a lot of details and interesting information that we'll get to as I run through this. Also, we have Jin Zinn. He is from Federal Highway Administration. And we also have Steve Williams. He takes care of all of your roads in Virginia City and does a very good job with that, I must say. So with that, of course, we're here because we like you a lot and we think you like us, but we're going to continue to work, you know, our relationship. I know that there are issues that we're going to discuss briefly at the tail end of this presentation. We're going to continue to work with you. We do that with all 17 counties across the state, and we're very proud of the relationship that we have with Story County. This also helps the statewide transportation improvement program. There's a federal requirement from Federal Highways that for our county consultation process, there are federal mandates and regulations that force us. I wouldn't say force, but mandate that we come out and talk to the local agencies to make sure that issues that you have are making it onto our task list. So with that, go to the next slide. So, of course, safety is extremely important at Nevada Department of Transportation. And if you look at some of the data on this slide here, so you see 363 days with zero fatalities. Those aren't consecutive days, but those are 363 out of 365 days where there were no fatalities. I wish I could say that there were 365 days consecutively, but unfortunately, we had two fatalities in 2015 in Story County. Right below the day count there with the zero fatalities just gives you an idea of the age of the drivers within Story County. So 55% of the drivers in Story County are over 50 years old. 30% are between 30 and 50 years old, and then under 30 is 15%. So, and that is pretty much reflective of the driving age all over the state, to be honest with you. There are a few exceptions with a couple of counties, but for the most part, it's an aging driving population. You see the fatality counts, 2014 and 2015. And then you have Story County crash data, so just, you know, number of crashes in total, you can see went up through 2014, but dropped significantly in 15, and that's just all crash. That isn't, you know, that isn't just fatal crashes. Those are property, those are serious injury, those are fatal crashes. So that is a good sign to see that drop off from 2014 to 2015 in just total number of crashes. Okay, so the four E's of traffic safety. You have engineering, and that's NDOT's part. What we try to do is engineer the heck out of the roadways to make them as safe as they possibly can. Unfortunately, we still have users of the roadway that make certain decisions, whether to use alcohol or to do this or to do that on a roadway, that makes them unsafe, which then launches us into the education campaign. We have a very strong relationship with the Department of Public Safety, the Office of Traffic Safety, different state agency, but NDOT working with Department of Public Safety has been, I think, very successful in trying to educate the public in terms of pedestrians, how to cross the street, you know, certain bicycles, other types of road users that we really need to be on the lookout for, and that. That comes, you know, that working with Department of Public Safety helps tremendously with that. We work very closely with emergency response and emergency responders. We actually have a statewide training class that we put on for emergency responders and how they respond efficiently to crashes on the roadway so we can get medical help to these folks as quickly as we can. And then, of course, enforcement, that's DPS, that's law enforcement. Those are the enforcement pieces, but all four of those are very closely tied in trying to drive down the number of crashes and deaths on Nevada roadways. So, funding. So the FAST Act, which was passed a few months ago, it's a five-year transportation bill. It's Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act. That's what FAST stands for. It pretty much gives us the same amount of annual funding that we got before, with the caveat that it increases approximately 2 to 2.5% per year over that five-year bill. So we're really excited about having a longer-term bill. That makes, you know, it takes the risk out of planning, takes the risk out of sticking your neck out on some of these larger projects that we have statewide. So that's a very good thing. From an NDOT perspective. Fuel revenue indexing, of course, you know, each county will be able to have a question on the November ballot whether they want to bring fuel revenue indexing to that county. NDOT is not leading those efforts. Those efforts are up to the individual counties that are that would possibly be proposing FRI. What we can do, though, is work with staff if there are any questions, if there's anything about fuel revenue indexing, the types of projects it can be used for, those sorts of things. We'd be more than happy to sit down with your staff and talk to you about that. So, okay, so NDOT local government planning. And this was what I was talking about earlier in terms of what Lee, Mark, and Kathy have done with this outreach, this consultation program that we have. We used to only meet once a year, and this would be the meeting. I would come report out, here's all the neat things that NDOT's doing. What we didn't really get to were the details of what the needs of the county were. So what we've started doing, and I believe last year was the first year that we started doing that, we started holding county workshops. So if you see the red button on top with county workshops, we actually come sit down with your staff, roll up our sleeves, and ask what the needs and issues are. So we can really get down into the weeds in terms of the detail of the things that the county might need a little help with or You know, there might be a certain issue that NDOT and the county could work together on to solve. And that, you know, those details of us understanding what those needs are and then coming and reporting out to you with the information that we have is very critical to building that long-lasting relationship that I talked about before. So some of the things that have come out of those county workshops, so you can see USA Parkway Interchange. I can tell you right now that we are looking very closely at the USA Parkway Interchange. That interchange was originally put in under development. It was under permit that interchange was put in. So we're looking at that very closely to make sure that traffic volumes that we expect for USA Parkway in December of 17, that, you know, that we have coverage for that and that the interchange will function properly with the number of vehicles and trucks that we're expecting. We've got stuff on Rainbow Bend, so an alternate route to the Lockwood Interchange, and SR 341. Just more than anything, just want to let you know that this information, we heard it, and it is documented, and it is in a database. So when we get ready to do a project up here, or maybe we combine a few needs or issues into a certain project, we'll pull this list out and see if there are things we can check off on here. You know, so we're always looking for those opportunities to leverage being in a certain area and trying to get a good price from contractors when we bundle things together like that. So, next slide. All right, the FY17 work program for Story County, $143,442. Doesn't sound like a lot of money, but the two previous years we've spent quite a bit of money in Story County on USA Parkway and all of the larger projects that we have going into the county. So, and most of that is pavement preservation efforts, just trying to keep the roads held together the best we can. It is a struggle. I will tell you that. With all of the economic development that's going on all over the state, it is a challenge to try to keep the pavements in top condition. We're doing the very best that we can, but projects like this they'll buy us 3, maybe 7 to 10 years of pavement preservation so that we hopefully don't have to go back and repair those roads for that time period. So these are treatments that'll extend the life of the pavement about as far as we think we can. And then, you know, any long-range discussion or issues that you have, I'd like to talk about those. And this would probably be a good point for that. If there are issues that you've brought up in the past or anything new that you'd like to talk about, I'd be more than happy to talk about those things right now if you'd like.
Does that conclude your video presentation?
That concludes my presentation. I would just ask that before we conclude that we just get a motion and a motion to accept a proposal for the work program.
Okay. Nicole, can I ask you to turn the lights back on? Okay, Commissioners, can I get a motion to approve the 2016 transportation report for Story County?
I'll move to approve.
I'll second that motion.
We're moving a second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. I'd like to start off,
sure.
Deputy Director. And I want to revisit last year's meeting.
Okay.
And this is a follow-up in resolutions of item number one. The issue is the crumbling infrastructures of gutters and curbs. Now, it says in here that the follow-up on this is that the gutters and curbs are county-owned and this issue is closed. Now, I don't remember ever getting any notice from your agency that the county was the new owners of the curbs and gutters. I have personal recollection of NDOT building those curbs and gutters. Also, I think there's documentation that NDOT owns those curbs and gutters. And on occasion when our public works department would be doing repairs on those curbs and gutters, your inspectors would stop and ask our public works where the permit was to repair those curbs and gutters. And when asked why that was necessary, they were informed it's because those curbs and gutters are owned by the state of Nevada, NDOT. And so the inspector was informed that we'd get the permits in order. We just wanted to know who to send the bill to now that the repairs had been completed.
Gotcha.
And then the inspector would get back in his truck and drive away. So with that said, we never received any notification that we were the new owners. I think we're going to contest that this is an NDOT issue, that these curbs and gutters, they belong to you.
Right, and Mr. Chairman, I spoke to Mr. Witten just before the meeting, and I assured him that I would personally look into this matter and make sure that it's accurate. That's all we all want is just accuracy. And
actually, we want you to own them. No matter what.
Well, that's good to know, because that would be a, you know, once we find out, then we have to do something about it. So then maybe we work, you know, depending on where that lays, then we can work on an agreement to move it wherever you guys would like.
So. And along those lines, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm kind of looking at Jason and Sherry, NDOT has a great grant program called TAC.
Mm-hmm.
That we're looking at trying to tap as heavily as we possibly can. It's a very sizable potential high grant award, and restoring the curbs and gutters is definitely one of our highest priorities. In fact, we walk the streets on Thursday morning, I believe, to kind of take a look at some of our priorities for that project,
right.
So that we might better get them to you guys in that kind of order. But hopefully with TAP as a potential source of funding for that, you guys will look favorably upon our request and grease those skids just a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, as we continue on, Deputy Director Huffman.
Yes, sir.
The next item was item number two at the last year's meeting when you were here. I also asked that you guys investigate lengthening the acceleration lane coming out of Lockwood going west on Interstate 80.
Right.
It seems to be extremely short, and it's a fast section of highway, and the residents really need to get on the throttle so they don't get overtaken by an 18-wheeler coming down.
Right.
The status here is that the county needs to fill out a project initiation form. Now, it's all well and good, but if we need to do these, I'd appreciate if we have a little, maybe more rapid notification, because it's been a whole year until I receive this, and it's like, if I'm thinking that nothing's being done because we neglected on filling out this form, I just like maybe a little quicker response.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, Sean. Yes, you're right.
Okay. I'll get you off the hot seat now, and I'll let one of the other commissioners go ahead and weigh in.
This is pretty cool based on some of the commission meetings I've made this year. So.
A lot of high priority. We feel like it's a danger down there. A lot of our folks down there are retired, and so you have a lot of senior drivers.
Right.
And with that real short, I don't know if you've driven it personally, but it's...
I have. It's very short. You're right.
It's very short.
Right.
And with the level of traffic that's starting to run on I-80 today, it's become a serious issue, I think, for those folks down there. Does NDOT have any data, or do you collect regular data on the C Street traffic flows, either into or out of the community? And do you have any data we can look at that could verify some of the issues along C Street today?
Yeah, we should definitely have.
I'll get you that.
Would you do that, please, Lee?
Yeah.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that's easy.
Commissioner McGuffey?
I really don't have any questions. I know that USA Parkway, it seems like every time there's an accident on 80, it's out at USA Parkway. I'm sure you're trying to address that.
We are. Definitely are. Yes, sir.
The other side of that is a sincere thank you. For everything that Rudy's been doing and you folks have been doing, and what a great team you all have out there.
Thank you.
And every day that I go out and look, there's more and more and more activity. I know Ames Construction is busily finishing up a lot of that, but what a great project and community spirit and the coming together.
It really is.
For all of it, and to consider that we're going to have that highway open potentially by August of next year, just incredible.
It really is, and that speaks volumes of the team.
It does. Yeah, I think the Story County team, amazing. The NDOT team, amazing. And really seeing all that come together, it's going to be so beneficial for Story County overall. Right. And that will relieve some of that traffic congestion we're getting right now, because I've been told that as much as 80% of the traffic that is now flowing out onto 80 to either go east or west to head south is now going to be able to directly access south. And it's going to take a lot of truck traffic off of 80, especially between TRI and Reno.
Yes, we're expecting big safety.
Yes, sir.
Reaping safety benefits. But that project had a benefit-cost ratio of 9. Anything over 1 is a good project you should build. This was 9 to those points that you spoke about. So it's very exciting for us and Story County.
Well, thank you for all the efforts out there.
Thank you, and I will make sure to pass the thank you on to Director Malcolm.
Please, absolutely.
Will do. Thank you.
I know that your staff has been working with Public Works up here in reference to the storm drain waters that pour into the wastewater treatment plant. Mike, is there anything we need to follow up on that?
Well, do we need to fill out a permit?
I'm hoping it's not a permit or some form you got to fill out. But what I'm hoping, and Mr. Witten had pointed this out to me as well, I will go back and make sure that we're moving as fast as we can. I know our hydraulic engineers have been looking at this, and they've come up and looked, and they're starting a design. I just need to get them to move faster. They're working on it, but we have a new stormwater program that really is quite large and is quite time-consuming in terms of design work. But I know we've started on it, and I was going to go back and look into that personally to make sure we're going as fast as we can. Yes.
We actually have a meeting scheduled for sometime this week, Mike? With them?
No, that meeting is this week.
Okay. That probably right now is one of our slow but steady progresses. I mean, you guys are helping us out a lot.
And if I may,
Mr. Chairman,
we do have a couple of others. I promised the deputy director that I would kind of intersperse the roses and the thorns today, so I'm going to start with a rose. And again, since I believe that Steve is here, I wanted to recognize your local maintainer station as being awesome. I mean, the teamwork, I think, between the state and the county when it comes time for snow removal on C Street, the dedicated efforts definitely to get it off. And we had a pretty good snow year this year. By recent standards, and that ability to get that off of C Street so that the businesses can enjoy commerce on their weekends when they get the sunshine. It inevitably falls overnight on Friday night, and then you guys are slammed. But we appreciate your local guys tremendously.
Yeah, they do a great job. Thank you.
I'm just going to keep going down the list. Another project, maybe to keep an eye on that seems to hurry up, and now wait. Is we worked very well with you over the past year plus on our water pipeline that crosses under I-580. And that now seems to have come to a screeching halt for a while. We've executed a memorandum of understanding, I believe, and I think NDOT's even signed off on it, but we're not aware of continued forward progress to get that done.
Right, and I'm sorry, Mr. Whitten. Is this the water line that we're putting near Lakeview?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I know that there are other state agency issues that we're trying to work through.
Okay.
So there are other agencies that have gotten involved in the process and the project now.
Okay.
So I know we're trying to fight off some of our own.
Probably.
Well, yeah, and procurement issues, okay. So we're working through those as quickly as we can.
That's just critical to us, and we really appreciate your cooperation and your funding. Every time we turn around, even as recently as with last night's fire, we had problems with our own water lines here trying to hit the hammer and the brake and the hammer and the brake. It's just rough on those old pipes.
Right,
and that's
right. No, and when we had heard, this was months and months, maybe even over a year ago, when we had heard that was your only source of water, we jumped immediately and started to put a project together to get that work done. But then there were other state agencies that thought that they had the authority to oversee that. So we're just in that. We're in a tight area there.
Okay, appreciate it.
Sure.
And you can call me Pat. I think
okay.
We know each other much better than that. I do want to commend you on your fall meeting of last year that I think Lee and his team conducted. It was the most thorough, best approach to collaborative government that I've ever seen. I think we came away with good plans. Funny, I remember one of the guys asking, you know, what's your 20-year vision? What do you need? We didn't know it then, but we have one now that I'm going to talk about shortly. Curbs and gutters we talked about. We do have and managed to connect up Lee with the Seymour family. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Robert or John want to speak at any point in time. What I'd ask maybe before you leave is Mike Nevin might excuse himself for the meeting for a while, show you not only the Seymour's wall so you can see it for yourself. Lee's got good eyes on it. We kibitzed back and forth with aerial views and everything last week or week before. But it's something, again, we need help with, regardless
right.
of who owns it, what the solution is.
Sure.
We need help. And I think the historians here, Mike probably in particular, Marshall can probably speak to better yet as to why that cut was made when 341 became a highway instead of a Jeep trail or,
right.
you know, whatever the history there is. But
right.
these guys need help and they're great people.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Happy birthday, buddy. moving along, you mentioned USA Parkway,
mm-hmm.
And particularly I-80. Please don't take your eyes off of USA itself as far
okay.
as safety.
Okay.
Not to throw anybody under the bus, but mm-hmm. I had a very disturbing comment uttered at a stakeholders meeting we were at when, you know, we were talking with Ames Construction and high-level NDOT members, and when we asked about particularly the intersection at Electric Avenue
mm-hmm.
and 439, the answer was, well, we'll get to that after we get the highway built, and that's not an acceptable answer to the county. There's already problems out there, and we really need to get we need to improve the safety. Austin and I left a meeting at Lance's office a month or so back, and the 4:30 rush hour coming out is absolutely amazing.
Okay.
We had to wait to pull on to Electric, much less to get onto USA Parkway. So,
okay.
Pat, if I may just dovetail on that too, make a note, we are in escrow on that corner with Marriott Hotels for a courtyard, and that'll be coming within the next 9 months.
Okay.
So with all the traffic congestions that there now on Electric and USA, and then with adding a hotel, it'll be interesting.
Okay.
The hotel's at 439 and Electric?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be on the northeast corner.
And I think we've determined, I'm looking at Austin, I believe ingress egress will be off of Electric. We're trying to avoid your ingress egress processes whenever that's possible.
That is very helpful. Thank
so,
you. Okay.
I'll just skip over. When we talked about the 20-year plan, we were short-sighted in our vision till Councilman Lawson brought to my attention that it may be in the city of Sparks' best interest to amp up Waltham Way and that interchange, and in particular perhaps do a north road, if you will, into Spanish Springs. We would be extremely supportive of that, you know, particularly if it came with fixing Waltham. Waltham probably doesn't meet any of your standards now anymore, I'm sure it's old.
Right.
And Bill, I'm going to ask a question since you mentioned indexing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that if a county, obviously we think we know enough about indexing now to know it has to pass statewide, and then it has to pass in a given county. At the last meeting, we appointed the clerk to get a committee together if she can, and if not, we'll use the NACO verbiage
right.
that they've worked on.
Uh-huh.
As much as we're able to without being able to, we would be supportive of it.
Okay.
But it's a tax increase. You know, if it were to fail in a county, does that pretty much, as we've heard, that that'll be a death knell for NDOT projects
no.
if we fail to pass it?
Okay. No, it's just a little bit less money that would be going to that county. A little or a lot, I mean, depending on, you know, how much revenue would be projected to come in through
right.
that. But no, it would not preclude you from doing any future work with NDOT. That's not That's false.
And I think in closing, again, I just want to thank you for your outstanding partnership, your whole team. I mean, I look back at probably what we were talking about last year is 342, 342, 342.
Right, right.
And except for, I think, a top coat that I don't know if it's been done yet or not. You know, that project's done and in the books.
Right.
And we could not have done that without your cooperation. And it was critical to the people of Virginia City in particular, but
right.
to the county.
Right. No, that was that was a great partnership, public-private partnership as well. But Austin Osborne, yourself, Pat, played a key role in that whole thing in working with Comstock, really. You made our job pretty easy, really. You really did. So that was just great teamwork all the way around.
We appreciate it.
Plus, we got a nice new road out of it as well.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then, okay, thanks, Pat. I wanted to fill back just for a second on the retaining wall at the north end of town there.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the Seymour property there. I've got an old photograph of that area there prior to, probably would have been the Nevada Highway Department in those days,
right.
before they had cut it in. And that's, you can see how the road came up on top of the hill and then came down into Virginia City. So obviously that had to be excavated in order to bring the road into some type of normal grade to
right.
enter the town.
Sure.
And the type of material used to build that retaining wall is, you know, it's much period for that time.
So, sure. Right.
So this family's been here almost since the beginning of time, like some of the other old-time families in town. So I'd like you guys to take a particular look at it on that. And I think that there might be some stairwell issues up at that end of town as well that were put in by NDOT sometime in the 70s.
Okay.
They can give you more detail. Bobby or John, either one of you want to speak to this while you're here?
I'll talk with
you. Sure.
Why don't you come on to the podium? And I'm going to do this. When you get up there, go ahead and state your name for the record. That way the transcriber will get everything correct.
Yes, I'm Bob Seymour. And just real quick, just a brief history on the property. The house was actually 398 North C Street is the house that we're talking about here. It's right across the street from the roadside rest as you're leaving town. The home was built back in the late 1850s. We have pictures dating back as far as the early 60s. So it's one of the older houses on Comstock. When the house was built, it had direct C Street access. Still, you could walk right out the front door onto C Street. It was at the same level, probably the picture you're talking about, Marshall. When my family actually moved into the house back in the late 20s, they still had the C Street access. We bought the property in 1931, still had C Street access. In 1936 is when they cut the road down, and that's when we lost all the access. We lost the access. The county cut in a road from B Street so we would have access, which is still maintained today. By the county road department as far as snow removal. They put in the stairs, which you mentioned, so we would have some kind of access. We have no address. We have no deliveries. 398 North C Street doesn't exist, really. Our front yard, we have no front yard because it just drops straight down. We've contacted Collins Construction regarding putting in a foundation, and they said they can't do anything until the retaining wall is fixed. The whole house is basically sliding towards the highway. Our front cornerstone, there's about 6 inches difference between the ground and the cornerstone now. So there's several problems that have been caused by this. And what we're just asking is for somebody to either explain why somebody else isn't responsible for it or how it can be fixed. The county will have some responsibility because North Street ran down the north side of the house. That was abandoned at the same time. So that's why the retaining wall was run east-west there. There's also sewer and water lines that run through there, which over the past several years have also been dug up right alongside the retaining wall. So there's several issues here that have been, you know, caused by other parties that we've had no responsibility for, but we have a serious problem. So it's a safety issue to cars coming into town, too. The retaining wall is... it's ready to pop, so I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah, That's great. Thanks, Bobby. That's a good history lesson for us all. Thank you.
Do those still
have and thank Mr. Bonner for sitting down with me and giving my information.
No, it's still a C Street address.
I mean, okay, I'm mistaken. Are they still a C Street address?
Yes. We have basically made up an address on B Street so we can get deliveries, but they're always lost because they can't find that address anywhere. So. And like I said, the steps that have been put in back when Bill Del Carlo was with the State Department, they maintained them up till that point. And then for some reason after that, they stopped maintaining them. That didn't bother us so much because we didn't use them, and it just gave people, you know, a reason to come climbing up into our yard. But the steps are still there, and it's, you know, a severe safety issue, people trying to go up and down those.
Well, so. Probably after Bill retired, whoever the new foreman up here, he probably didn't know that that was...
Exactly. This stuff has just gotten lost over the years. Fortunately, you know, I was able to spend enough time with my grandfather before I moved into the house that I did get a pretty good history lesson on it. So...
And I think after this meeting, I believe Mike's going to take Bill and some of his team at least... And we have two areas to show, and one obviously is the retaining wall. Maybe we can do that one first if you guys want to duck out and meet on site.
We would be on site, and I would be very happy to show somebody around.
I think a picture's worth a thousand words when you see it. And the other one, I neglected. I think I mentioned it to you when we met before the meeting. But we do have a fairly serious trip and fall hazard in the gutter of Taylor and 341. And if we can get you guys to look at that, we've enacted some of our own fixes. Because, you know, I can't tell you how many undercarriages I've ripped out on my own cars, much less other people. You know, where you nosedive because of the condition. But Michael will at least show you that one, and maybe show them what we did on Union as at least a temporary fix because it was getting bad.
All right. Very good. Thanks,
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
We'll take any other public comment regarding this agendized item. Okay.
One other comment I'd have, please.
Yes, sir.
There is one fellow missing here today from NDOT, and I'd like to thank and congratulate personally. But you have a fellow named Pedro Rodriguez.
Oh, right.
And Pedro's out there on the USA Parkway, and he has been incredibly responsive and available instantly. And just can't thank you enough that you take back and a personal thank you. He's doing a yeoman's job.
That's great to hear, and I'd be happy to do that. Thank you very much.
I echo that. He's great to work with.
That's great to hear.
Anything else?
No. Again, thank you guys, all of you. It's always great to work with Lee. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody as diligent in their follow-up as Lee is.
He is. We're lucky to have him. Yes.
Glad to see you. We'll look forward to seeing you in the fall, if not before.
Right.
Well, I want to mention, too, what a great job Steve and his team do up here. They do a terrific job, you know, countywide.
Right. So. Well, thank you very much.
And they deserve the credit. So.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Deputy Director, thank you.
Thank
you. And Lee and your staff for attending today.
Right.
Giving us an update. We appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it's a pleasure, and I look forward to the tour.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gentlemen.
Did you get your drive?
I did.
Okay. All right. Happy birthday, Floyd Seymour. Moving along now to item number 7. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. This is committee and staff reports. Sean Griffin from the Community Chest and the Library and the Poet Society.
Just a big thank you to everybody for helping us celebrate our 25th last Thursday. It was a great night and a wonderful honor to see that day come to pass. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you for putting it on and the invitation. We had a wonderful time there.
Yes. A great turnout.
Yes, it was.
And free beer.
Yeah. Where can you get that?
Wow. Sheriff Antonoro?
Nothing today.
Sherry Nevin. Community relations.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. Pat made mention earlier that we'd be doing a walkthrough of C Street on Thursday morning, and that's kind of to prioritize our projects for the TAP grant to NDOT, which is due Friday. So we pretty much have the application is done. We just want to walk through and get priority, you know, because we can't get everything we want probably, but curb and gutter is definitely going to be the number one. We did meet with NDOT, their grant folks. Jason and I met with them last Thursday. They're supportive of our project, and we, you know, kind of drilled that in again today with them. So we're hopeful that we will get something to be able to take care of some of the at least curb and gutter issues that we're facing. So
good.
That's all I have for today.
Where are you going to meet?
We're going to meet at my office, and we're just going to take a quick little walk down and around. So.
Great. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Okay, over to our planning department. Jason?
Nothing today.
Okay. At the comptroller's office today?
Nothing today.
Other than our comptroller looked extremely well since he's had his little medical episode. He's like doing great.
Is he home yet? Or?
Yeah.
Yes.
Stacy,
over.
No. District Attorney Langer.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk Wendy. Nothing today. County Manager.
You know I have stuff, sir. But you've taken one of them off by reporting on. Our favorite Irishman, Mr. Gallagher, he is doing well. He's got good family, both in his house and in his bloodlines and also in his work family. I want to commend Jennifer and Melissa. They haven't missed a beat on anything. And they've even taken the time to start a dinner food effort that I've never seen such good organization coming out of anything. So it's a powerful testimony to the strength of this community and the strength of the Story County family. Moving on, we did have a little event last night. Our fireworks didn't quite go as planned. We're working on the debriefs of that. I will tell you that it's conceivable that that may be the one and only time they'll launch from the fairgrounds. There are fuel load concerns down there that last night can't resolve. It's just the winds and the fuel and everything. So taking a look at that, working with Denny, since it is actually the county that permits those, and he's just the agent. And I want to commend our fire group, Chief Haynes and everybody, for the preparation. I think the Seymours today said, geez, how close was that fire to you? And it was maybe 100 yards, a couple hundred yards, but never panicked. Just simply knew that Gary's guys would get on it. It was tough in those winds, though. I mean, this wasn't just an easy, oh yeah, wildland fire that occasionally we're lucky enough to have. This was the real deal. So I want to commend them. They had Central Line Fire Unit staged almost directly below the house. At a garage structure, and they were, it's amazing to watch them go into action. From time to time, I report on projects that we have. This today will be the jail, the old jail here. The lights are on, by the way, it's locked right now. But over the next several months, it will evolve into probably two things. One will be a conference center on site if people want to have meetings. Sheriff and I chatted this morning, and my office was taken. And oftentimes, the budget team, in particular, will meet with department heads and elected officials throughout the months of prepping the budget. And to go down to the bank and the conference center is kind of a pain, particularly when it's snowing or whatnot. So we seem to be doing a lot of new employee orientations through either turnover and whatnot. So it'll function that way. But luckily, too, Doug Gist was kind enough to leave the display cases. And other than the ones that are in the jail, which in the jail cells themselves, which won't be used, we intend to hopefully use every one of them. So we've assembled a small team of what I call our history people. Ron Gallagher has provided me contact information for somebody that was the sheriff back in the 50s, and I'll try to come up with that name. And also a justice of the peace from, I believe, the 40s. And he's connecting up. They have artifacts from their parents' tenures here. So these would be this would be Patty Morris, and her dad was a sheriff in the late 50s.
And
I guess timing was perfect for Ron because the alumni had their 50th reunion, and Bill Pollard came, and Mr. Pollard, his father was a JP in the 40s. And I think this is really a cool thing. He's got a desk that his dad used while he was Justice of the Peace here that has a stamp made in Gold Hill.
It was his mother.
Okay.
His mother was Justice of the Peace.
Yeah.
Pollard.
Father had it. He died. Mother took over, according to Ron.
Okay. Because they lived in a little house right here.
Okay.
Where a parking lot sits today.
And then, you know, in probably one of the mother of all victories for us, again, as I mentioned, it's our intent to have kind of a self-guided tour through with security, plexiglass, securing the artifacts. But I approached the Fourth Ward School, and they've got a lot of artifacts that aren't on display in the Fourth Ward that they're willing to put on loan to us. And then through Bert Badeau and Shippo, Elise has an awful lot of artifacts, including one from the Boston Bar dig. Bert calls it the $1 million bottle, but the Aqua Wanzer bottle that was dug up over here in the Piper's Bar may be coming home finally, just two doors south. But we hope to have that up maybe either by the end of the year or turn it into the next year. So, and the good news is when Sherry and I mentioned that to Elise from Shippo, she got all excited. She said, that opens a whole nother pot of money for you if you use it for cultural stuff. So we're definitely all over that. So that's my report, Mr.
Great.
Chairman.
Thank you, Pat. That concludes number seven. We'll move on now to item number eight. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Commissioner McGuffey?
The only thing I'll comment is the fireworks last night. I was seated right there across from Del Rio's, pretty much, looking right down on it. And the fireworks, by the way, were awesome, the ones that they did get off. But when the fire started, it was a good lesson reminder how quick they can take off with the fuel that's out there. And there's just lots and lots of fuel. And so, the same thing could happen with a barbecue. So just kind of be aware of that.
Thank you. Great. Thanks. Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today, sir.
Yeah. For those that were in attendance yesterday, the festivities in Virginia City were wonderful, from the parade to the concert. This business community was bustling, I mean, with all the live music around town, and the food vendors, and it was very festive. I mean, I haven't seen this many people in a 4th of July celebration, maybe in many, many years. It was terrific.
I might add, Mr. Chairman, Denny reported at a staffing meeting we had at 7:30 this morning that he did get at least one complaint. That complaint was from a Virginia City merchant, and the complaint in essence said, how do you expect us to handle all this business? So.
In business terms, that's usually a good problem to have. On a sad note, I'd like to mention the passing of Lou Hess Alta. This is the mother of locals Raleigh and Greg Hess in Virginia City, and their daughters Kathleen and Lori that live in Reno. Grandson Bum Todd here in Virginia City. She was started her family in Gold Hill back in the 40s or 50s, and was a Reno resident and came back to Virginia City and worked here, worked in Reno, had a million friends and was a caregiver to many. And our condolences to the Hess family. She definitely was the matriarch of the family, and it was shown on her license plate that had one word, and it said Warden. Her services will be held this Friday at a Reno church. So, moving along now to item number 9, discussion of possible action. Approval of Resolution 16-443, setting the tax rate levy for 2016-2017. This is a routine item that we do every year.
Yes, sir, I have that. Is this item 9 or 10? It is 9.
Have it on number 9.
Huh. Okay. Sorry. I have an old agenda, I guess. This is you're exactly right, Mr. Chairman. This is our annual setting of the tax rate. By resolution, is required by statute, the first meeting that we have in July of the new fiscal year, which we are now in. And I'll briefly read it and go over the rates, but also simply summarize it by saying there are no changes. This is Resolution 16-443. Whereas the Story Board of Commissioners in and for the County of Story, State of Nevada, did hold a public meeting on the 2016-17 tentative budget for Story County, and whereas the resources and expenditures and required tax rates were reviewed and approved at that public hearing, whereas the approved resources, expenditures, and tax rates were submitted in the 2016-17 final budget for the County of Story, State of Nevada, now therefore it is hereby resolved that the Board of Commissioners in and for the County of Story, State of Nevada, in accordance with NRS 361.460, intends to levy the following tax rates following certification by the Nevada Tax Commission. And our breakdown specifically, again, with no changes in tax rates whatsoever this year. The general remains at 1.7719, indigent medical remains at 1 cent. Keep in mind that can be as high as 9. Indigent accident is a penny and a half. Youth service, which is usually the one that fluctuates because of expenses attributed to China Springs and Winrick, youth services remains at 0.0045. Capital acquisition remains the same at 0.05, and the fire protection district remains the same at 0.5446. The total county responsible rate is 2.3960. And then for reference only, you have the school operating at 0.75, which remain the same. The school debt at 0.1447 remain the same. And the state always gets their cut at 0.1700. So the total tax rate is 3.4607. And staff recommends you approve it.
Great. Thanks, Pat. Okay. Can we go ahead and have any public comment regarding this resolution? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve Resolution 16-443, setting the tax rate levy for 2016-2017.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve this resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Moving along now, under Community Development and Planning, item number 10 for possible action, Licensing Board second reading. Stacy Bucaneri. Come on down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stacy Bucaneri for the record. Per our letter dated July 1st, Story County Building Department has inspected and found that the following businesses meet code requirements necessary to operate in the county. It's quite a list. Two of all of these are being continued. Item number E, Aqua Metals. They're not quite finished with construction. And Triple C, Thrive Market, Inc. at 700 Milan. They're also not quite ready. So we'll continue those two.
Which item, sir? E?
E.
As in Edward?
Aqua Metals.
Three. Aqua Metals I got.
And the Triple C?
Triple C. Thrive
Triple
Market.
C. Right at the bottom.
Bottom of the... Go back one thing.
Way from the very bottom.
Very last one.
There we go.
Okay. Any public comment regarding the second readings?
Hearing none. Okay. Motion for approval for all items with the exceptions of items E and CCC.
So moved.
I'll second that motion.
And moved and second to approve all items with the exception of E and CCC. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. And in the matters of items E and CCC, we continue these.
So moved.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to continue E and CCC. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11, public comment. Moving along now to item number 12, this meeting's adjourned.